and I am in the first semester of the seminary at Bellflower, California.
Take note. I'm going to give you 11 points. Thank you, Helen. Who's that? You may ask. But the proper translation of the word ecclesia, assembly, right? Assembly or congregation, and practice using that. If we from this school will start using the term in its translated form, it will have its effect over the state. Now remember that. Two words. Baptism, church. Let's reverse those two. When you read it immersion. And when you read it assembly. Or, if you're reading it before a congregation that's not familiar with those things, just stop and make the statement. The word church is a word that was required in the translation of the New Testament by the 52 Episcopal translators. The king required that they do not use the word assembly or congregation. You can get too sober why they're doing that. The word church actually carries with it the idea of universalism.
That's right.
And that's what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you'll die if you put that in there otherwise. That's one of the rules for those standards. An assembly. There's no mistaking what an assembly is.
Right.
No mistaking what congregation is. Okay. Number one must be founded by a right man. Ephesians 1:22. Somebody read it for me. I'll give you the scriptures and let you do the reading for me. I'll actually use that for a congregation also. Teach them to use the Bible as you go along. What is it? What is it?
What did you entitle this 11 points to one?
Yeah. Essential elements of the true church.
And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church.
Why is he the head of the church?
Right.
In order to have a church, a proper assembly, a right congregation. Number one requirement is that they must have a proper head, the right head. Not John Wesley, Alexander Campbell, John Calvin, but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the head of the New Testament. Now Matthew 11 and 12, Luke 16 and 16 for the next point. Must be started at the right time in the days of John the Baptist. Must be started at the right time in the days of John the Baptist. Now Matthew 11 and 12. And Luke 16 and 16. Matthew 11 and 12, somebody read it for me. Now follow and find these passages and read them as I give them to you.
And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence taken by force.
Was the kingdom in existence in the days of John the Baptist? It had to be, or else it could not have suffered violence. Amen. I didn't say John the Baptist started and organized the Lord's assembly, but it says must be in the days of John the Baptist. That's the time of the origin of the word church. Luke 16, 16.
The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man passeth into it.
That's for him.
John the Baptist.
All right, John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man passeth into it. The kingdom of God in this particular means something that something can push into.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Press into it. His point, if there wasn't something there that could impress him to, in those days, that statement is misnomer. Had to be something there that folks could press him to. Is that right?
Amen.
Well, that's the fact that something existed. Well, what was that's something that existed that men could press into the kingdom of God. What phase of the kingdom of God was? Well, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Use your head for something besides your hand, right? Okay. The next point must be in the right place. Galilee. Must have the right place for origin. Galilee. The only place in the Bible that is famous where the church started was in Galilee.
Right.
Now, our church of Christ brethren will fight you all day long that that started in Judea, in Jerusalem. But it did not start in Judea. It started in Galilee.
Yeah.
Okay? Acts 10:37 is the first one. This is just a simple element of term that every one of you needs to learn the way this drifts off the end of your
page. That word, I say, you know, which was suddenly throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached.
Now I'm going to ask you the question again. How do we start churches? By preaching. And Peter said that word was published first in Galilee. Beginning in Galilee. That word, I say, started, began, in Galilee. If you can find a place where you can put your finger on something where it says it began, I think that's the starting place of it.
Amen.
And I'll give you a $10 bill if you can find where anything began on the day of Pentecost except the administration of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Yeah. Is that fair?
Amen.
All right. Then give me another one. Acts 1:21 and Mark 1:14-17. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. If I give you three scriptures, what says it started in Galilee, I think that'll be enough, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Mark 1:14-17. All right? Read that one next one, and then Acts 1:21.
Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brothers, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men.
Now why?
Galilee.
I have six faithful serving men that taught me all I knew, their names were what, and when, and why, and how, and where, and who. Why? In Galilee. Now that's two places where it says that this thing started in Galilee, isn't it? Now read Acts 1:21 for me.
Wherefore of these men which thou companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection.
Now he gives you the beginning place, the very place where I said it's got to start in the days of John the Baptist.
Amen.
Beginning from the baptism of John. Now, you can't put that anywhere else except during the days of the ministry of John, where the church started. You got to start there. That's an important place in it. Now, may I say this to you about Mount Tyre and Gilderoy Tyre, the mountaintop theory?
Amen.
He's done put a stick of dynamite on it. Okay?
Well, you better not see, because when they said those men were Galileans, did that to you enforce the fact that they had no beginning in Galilee?
All right. That prestige church that they reached on it. But now, two definite points where you just starting point. Now, you think this isn't important, but all you need to do is get the controversy with a Catholic, a Episcopalian, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, or anybody else outside of a Baptist, and you'll find they start their church on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
Now, a lot of Baptists started on the mountaintop.
Yeah.
My goodness alive. I get aggravated to some Baptists. Go to 1 Corinthians 12 and 28 and read that.
God has set some of his servants, first apostles, second of the prophets, third of the teachers, After that miracle, he didn't just appear. No, government, the very reason come.
Now, God has set some in the church, first apostles. What's the subject of that first chapter there, Brother Raymond?
Spiritual gift.
Spiritual gift. All right, the first gift placed in the church was the gift of the apostles here. Now, finally, when the apostles were placed in the church, I know the church is already in existence. Go to Luke 6 and 13. Now, I'll read that verse. Luke 6 and 13.
When it was day, he called unto him his disciples. Of them he chose 12, whom also he named the apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter.
Oh, that's enough now. And what was they? He, who was they? What had happened? He prayed all night. And the next morning he called unto him his disciples. How many did he have there?
Many, he told.
Well, he had more than 12 because he selected 12 out of them. And of them, he chose 12, whom he named the apostles. He didn't name the whole church apostle. He didn't name the whole congregation apostle. But he selected 12 out of that name grade. Then he named the apostles and gave their name. And Paul said he had set some in the church, first apostles. Now, for him, the possibility to put a few in this building as the building exists. I couldn't stick my hand in my pocket if I had a pocket. Neither did Christ put the apostles in the church or the gift of the apostleship unless the church was in existence.
Amen.
Is that not right? Yeah. You couldn't put your coin in your purse unless you had a purse. He has set some in the church, first apostles. Now, keep this in your mind and get away from the old idea that is in your mind that men started with a handful of seed on the mountaintop.
Yeah.
I've heard that from the time that I was a boy preacher, but there's not a word in too many.
Amen.
When he talks about planting something on top of the mountain, he's talking about the establishment of the earthly phase of the word kingdom, such as Daniel 2:44 and Isaiah 2:1-5, where he established in the top of the mountain. He's speaking about the establishment of the government of the Lord's church over all the governments of the earth. At the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Now it must be made out of the right material. That's the next point.
Number four,
the right material. Believers. Mark and Matthew 3:7. I'm
giving you a good sermon now. You won't have to prepare this one.
It'll preach itself if you just learn what that is.
Amen.
I want to read Matthew 3:7.
When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
By the way, I have John's baptism.
Amen.
And if you don't have John's baptism, you need to see it.
Amen.
The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or man?
Amen.
They came to the Lord and asked him a question. He said, where do you get your authority? Say you think that you're good. He said, I'll ask you a question. If you tell me, then I'll tell you. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or man? Why, they said, if we say from heaven, he said, why didn't you do anything, man? And if we say of men, we fear the people because all hold John as a prophet. And so they said, we'll just lie about it.
We don't know.
That's what happened. That's
right.
They made it up and premeditated what they were going to tell Jesus. Lie about it. Now, the only baptism that's in the world today is John's baptism.
Amen.
Amen. The church must have John's baptism.
Amen.
And God's assembly has John's baptism today.
Amen.
Every member of the first church in its origin was baptized by John the Baptist. He was dipped by John in the River Jordan.
Amen.
that not right?
Right.
Even including Jesus. And in the first conference after Christ had gone to glory, when the church met in a business meeting to select somebody to take the place of Judas Iscariot, that by transgression had fallen, the requirement was that one must take his place and has continued company with us from the baptism of John down to the present. John's baptism. All right, that's the right baptism. And John baptized only believers. That's the only time that John baptized. Now, I'm not like John. I can't look into the hearts of folks today and tell whether believers or not. I think John had that kind of an opportunity. When that group of scribes and Pharisees came to him demanding baptism, he said, "Who's warning you to flee from the wrath to come?" Therefore, thou wilt speak whether the fast and think not to say within yourself, "We have Abraham to our father, but God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." How do you know they were unbelievers? Well, I don't know except the Holy Spirit was directing him. And I would be surprised if that truth was you. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb.
Amen.
Well, he refused to baptize some. Now, if that been Camelot, for she said, "Okay, I'll take you, I'll dust you, you get it in the water."
Yeah.
He refused to baptize him. By the way, baptism is essential to salvation. John refused to let somebody get in. All right. He refused to let someone get into the kingdom of God because he refused to baptize him. Now, let me hit another point. Baptism is no part of the gospel. Repentance is no part of the gospel. Faith is no part of the gospel. We repent because of the preaching of the gospel. We believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ for our sins in order to be saved. And we're baptized, we're dipped in water to show that we have received that substitute or us. We eat the supper as a symbol of his death and his suffering. But that is none of those things are part of the gospel. What is the gospel? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, by which also you're saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures for our sins. Now that is the gospel. I get disgusted with Baptist preachers talking about everything being the gospel. That's why the statement that's common, and you can go look at it if you want to today, but let's go hear the gospel singing. And most of it is not myself. Amen. You know what gospel singing is? When you talk about the blood, the suffering, the sorrow, and the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, the Jericho Road is not a gospel song. On the Jericho Road, there's room for just two, no more, no less, just Jesus and Jesus. Amen. There in the capital over in the corner of Glorland, my gospel call. See what I'm driving at? Oh, to God's unchanging hand. That's not gospel. There's lots of things that are not gospel. What is the gospel? It's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures by our hands.
Amen.
Okay. Maybe. I didn't tend to preach on that. What numbers 5 or 6? 5. Must have John's baptism. I already talked on that, so I didn't see the Scriptures. John 1:21-32. 33. John's baptism. Must have John's baptism. Right baptism. John 1:31-33.
"And I knew it not, but that he should be made manifest in Israel
Right.
Therefore am I come baptizing with water.
And God is dipping in water.
As what it is. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from the heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize in water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost.
In the Holy Ghost.
Okay. Now, what convinced John that he had baptized the Son of God?
The
Holy Spirit. Because God told him ahead of time, upon whom the Holy Spirit descends, he's the one. And I bear record that this is the Son of God, John said. That's God. I like that statement. In order to have a true evidence of the Lord's Spirit, must have John's baptism. Next, must have the right supper, the Lord. Must have the right supper, the Lord's supper. Luke 20:19. Romans 8:2, Luke 16:16 for the next point. You can find it ahead of it. Luke 22:19. Now, somebody read it for me.
And he took bread and gave thanks and prayed it. Gave to them saying, this is my body that was given to you, this you and remember for me.
All right.
Okay.
When you eat the Lord's Supper, you remember Grandma, don't you?
Uh-huh.
This do it in remembrance of me. Now I think you all take soda crackers and grape soda back more than the Lord's Supper. One better excuse me of being the wine, though, because we use wine as the water supper. We use unleavened bread made out of flour that has no yeast in it, and wine at the water supper. And that's the only element that I've ever found in the scriptures that we're using in the water supper. So you can use soda crackers if you want to, and grape pop. But I think that these are elements that are essential to the Lord's Supper. I'm going to give you one point, boys, and I've given it many, many times before, and I've never had an answer on it yet. You can drink a barrel of grape juice and not get drunk. They make you sick, they count a quantity, but they got drunk at the Lord's table. Over in 1 Corinthians, chapter 11.
Hey.
So you can take any corner of the room you wish to, and I'll leave it just that. But you all have to use wine because that's intoxicating. The Lord said don't use intoxicating beverages.
But they had gone well on them, the church of Corinth. They were just pretending to have the Lord's Supper.
Mistaken again. The Lord's Supper was instituted at the Passover. And they had wine on the table of the Passover.
Never know.
Okay.
Never
know. Yes, it is the Old Testament, too. You must do it in the
day. What was the scripture
reference in Romans 8:2? That's the next point. Now, point 7 must have the right law. Okay, we can give a debate on the wine, but I have no question about that, but I still believe what the Bible teaches.
Okay.
Number 7 is the right law, the New Testament, Romans 8:2.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Okay. The law of Jesus Christ is our law to use in the church today, which is the New Testament. It's the rule of faith and practice. Now, number 8, let's have the right government. Congregational government. Right government. Congregational government. Matthew 16:18 is one. Acts 16:2 is another. And then Matthew 18, beginning with verse 15, is another one.
18:16?
All right. First one is Matthew 16:18. That's a common one for you, isn't it? 18, begin with the verse 15, I believe it is. And then Acts 6, let's read for it.
And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
All right, now that's the first time that you'll find in the Bible where the term church is used. And I give that only for that particular reason. Now, go to the 18th chapter, you start the government that's set forth in that group. Then the verse 15, 19.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he will hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, then it be unto thee as a heathen and a Protestant, and he's a man and a Verily I say unto you, that whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Or shall we enough, tell it unto the church, and if they neglect to hear the church,
yeah.
Of the preacher, of the deacon,
yeah.
Of the elders, the church is the one who gives the
word.
Yeah. Or Acts 6:2 is another one.
Then the father called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, there is no reason that we should believe the word of God and curse Satan.
All right, and that's the picture when the admonition was given to look out among you. And the church was given that information. The assembly was called upon to select men to or to fill the office of deacon. Now that shows you the church action in her deliberation. Now, over in the book of Acts, you'll find the method of exercising that water pressure, the stretching force of the hand. Do that in another, and I'll give it to some of you. All right, now then let's look to number 9, the proper doctrine, the apostles' doctrine.
First chapter, first passage of scripture where the Lord said to the church, gathered around him at one time, that the principle of the Gentiles exercised over those that
Acts 20 and 28, I think, or 25. Look, see, Acts 20, 25, 24, 25.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean that Matthew, Matthew 20, 24, 25. It's just like this. Principle of the Gentiles exercised authority over them, they were the great exercise dominion. But it shall not be so among you.
25 through 28.
Okay, that's chapter 20, is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, chapter 20, 25 through 28. Now, the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and prayer. You remember that?
Yes.
That doctrine. Then must come the right officers, point number 11. Acts 2:42. Number 10, right officers. Pastors and deacons. Ephesians 4:11, Acts 6:1-6. Those are the only two offices that the Lord has appointed and designated for his assembly. Everything else is man-made. Acts 6:1-6, and Ephesians 4:11. You can find other passages if you want to go with you. And then the last point, number 11, must have the right history in all ages, Ephesians 3:21. Unto him be glory in the assembly by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You can put Matthew 28:18-20 on that if you want to. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. History of the Lord's church is found in all ages.
Amen.
Matthew 28:18-20, Ephesians 3:21. Okay, I think you can preach that without much difficulty. By the way, any church failing to have these elements is not a scriptural church. Okay?
Church because they didn't believe what I made.